WGTD programming. 24/7 Jazz is also available. Simply ask, play WGTD HD2 on TuneIn. Support comes from Piasecki Funeral Home, thanking everyone for staying safer at home, along with commending our doctors, nurses, EMTs, and other healthcare professionals, as well as the fire department and all law enforcement for their tireless dedication during this time. Piasecki Funeral Home.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, your host for today. And COVID-19 has turned our lives upside down. Whether it's events, shopping, getting together with loved ones, of course, work, many other types of connections are affected. And so are our area not-for-profit organizations, all of their services, their volunteerism, the things they do in our community to help all the others stay afloat. Today, we're going to be talking with the CEO of the Kenosha County United Way, Tara Panasevich, and also the Executive Director for Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, or KAFASI, Katie Oatsville. So, Tara, I'd like to begin with you because the United Way of Kenosha County is considered to be kind of the umbrella organization. So, if you could begin by kind of characterizing all the different challenges that our not-for-profits are experiencing right now with the COVID-19.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Jane, for having us on the show today. We really appreciate it. Our local nonprofits are experiencing a number of different challenges right now related to COVID-19. As the community is aware, there are certain items that are the lifeblood to our local nonprofits. One of them is our events. Those community fundraising events that we put on every year contributes to us so that we are able to continue with our programming and servicing the community. And in the midst of COVID-19, a lot of those fundraisers for our nonprofits have had to be either canceled or postponed. So that is presenting itself to be a very difficult challenge for us right now as we rely on those funds to advance our programming. Another item that we rely on, and it's our lifeblood in nonprofits, is our volunteers. And with the introduction of Safer at Home order by Governor Evers, and we all as nonprofit directors, we want our volunteers to be safe. The health and safety of our volunteers is everyone's number one priority. So in a lot of cases, we've taken a look at our programs and we have postponed them for the remainder of the year, asking our volunteers to stay home and be safe. So that affects our programming as well. And that leads me into programming. The programming that all of our local nonprofits do, we rely on our volunteers and we rely on the funding. And a lot of our programs have had to also be postponed for the remainder of the year. I know just from a United Way of Kenosha County perspective, we have two massive programs that we run every year. One is in partnership with Kenosha Unified School District, and that's our Readers Are Leaders tutoring program, where we have over 300 tutors into the schools to work with our students to increase our reading proficiency by the time they reach third grade. That, at the onset of COVID-19, we made the difficult decision to suspend that very early in March. So those students weren't getting the extra help that they needed. In addition to that, our VITA program, which is our Volunteer Income Tax Assistance program, where we provide free tax assistance to our community. We rely on many dedicated volunteers for that as well. And in order to ensure their safety, had to suspend that program for right now, and we don't know when that or if that will be able to come back up this year with COVID-19. And that's upsetting because since that program began, we've brought $17 million back into the community for our taxpayers who need it the most. Another, two things that have also come up during this is our nonprofits are working very hard to, make sure that we still can put on the services we can for our community. And there's so many changes happening every day. It seems like there's always something new. And some of those that were introduced, like from the CARES Act and the payment protection loans. So we as nonprofits are receiving information daily, and trying to read and catch up and maintain all of that knowledge proved itself to be very difficult amongst everything else that we're doing. I'm sure no different than any other small business in the area as well. So those are just a few of the challenges that our nonprofit community is experiencing right now.
And Katie, I had invited you on the program because you deal very directly with one of the most vulnerable populations in COVID-19, the senior citizens, Kenosha Aging and Family Services. So you've got the children's side of things as well. Are you experiencing the types of things that Tara had outlined?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And echoing Tara's statements, thank you very much for inviting us to be on the show today. CAFASI, as well as so many of our other nonprofit partners, is evolving daily to respond to the ever-changing needs of our community. So it really, starts at the volunteer level for us. We have almost 600 volunteers that we rely on annually to help us deliver services to over 10,000 Kenosha County residents. And we've had to ask our volunteers to stay home, not only for their safety, but to limit everyone's exposure. Yet we can't stop delivering services. When we talk about essential services, we are talking about food and safety. And so whether that is keeping our most frail elderly with daily nutrition, or keeping our kids, now that we have more kids home from school and in environments that, unfortunately aren't always the most healthy, we still have staff out there on the front lines making sure that those kiddos are safe. And so I know for us, the impact has been great as to how we not only keep the finances available to deliver these services, but how we respond in a way where everybody needs to be taking extra health and safety measures while responding to a time where needs are greater than ever.
And I do want to talk quite a bit about the funding aspect separately, but I'd like to stay with you for a little bit, Katie, about kind of alternate ways of delivering services. I know you kind of alluded to the fact that some of our kids are in homes that are under stress. I would be willing to bet COVID-19 put those families under even greater stress. How exactly are your family, your staff interacting with these families in order to help them stay safe? You used to have them come into your office for group meetings sometimes and counseling. Now what's going on?
Yeah, the health and safety of everyone is really at the heart of all of our nonprofit missions. And so in the midst of this crisis, when families, even under the best of circumstances, are facing stresses that, nobody was really prepared for, our staff have quickly responded to being able to use technology. So as you said, Jane, yes, very often we have large group meetings that happen at our main office or at other locations throughout the county. And so we've begun using tools like Zoom to host meetings and have people connect in that way. For those that don't have that advanced technology, we're using telephone conversation to stay in touch with people and help them through these stressors as they arise. And then in our most dire and vulnerable situations, we still have staff that are, wearing masks, wearing gloves, keeping social distancing, but getting eyes on, you know, our most precious kiddos and our most frail elderly. And so it's had to be a coordinated response with a mix of techniques so that nobody is falling through the cracks, especially during these most trying times.
We were talking about volunteers, and I know volunteers, and I'm talking about both organizations, really picked up a, I don't want to say a bulk, but a great deal of the interaction with these vulnerable populations. And now you're relying on staff. Is that a good thing in terms of staff not being perhaps as busy before? Are you bringing in other staff? How are you managing that, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
That is a great question. I'll jump in to say at CAFASI, we, as I said, you know, have asked our volunteers to stay safer at home for the time being. But what that has allowed is to ensure that we can keep every one of our staff, you know, taking on those other duties as assigned, so that they can stay busy out there, you know, tending to the community. We've been very fortunate in the way that, you know, we have 55 staff who are out there every day, and we've had really minimal exposure. And so while we've even, you know, been on the front lines of caring for people in our community that we know have tested positive as a staff of CAFASI and many other nonprofits out there who are on the front line, that, you know, we're able to use these safety measures to keep providing service, but keeping everybody safe. But I'll tell you, I know CAFASI, we not only miss our volunteers greatly, but they just provide an element of service that we know our constituents are missing as well. So Tara, I'm sure you know what other nonprofits are facing as well.
Oh, absolutely, Katie. That's definitely so true. And I, from our Readers or Leaders tutoring program perspective, our volunteers, tutors are just amazing. And in order to stay connected during this time, technology is proving to be just a very valuable source for us. And they miss their kiddos that they tutor on a weekly basis. And because we're able to connect still and carry on our normal workday with Zoom, we're fortunate to be able to do that. Our tutors wanted to conduct story times, as we know that they wanted to reach their students. So they themselves have been recording themselves reading books and sending them to United Way so that we can post on our social media sites and get that information out to the students so that they are receiving some sort of getting books in their homes in just a different way. And I thought that that was amazing that they reached out and had the idea to do that, because as we're adapting to these ever-changing times, the volunteers are adapting as well and thinking of different ways to stay connected and different ways to stay involved. So it is amazing to see that.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I know our CAFASI RSVP program also has mentors in the KUSD school system. And like you alluded to, many of them are able to keep those connections by using technology and using Zoom to keep those weekly touches with kids and keep that mentor relationship whole. So it's been very trying times, but also really neat to see how our community has remained connected and responded to these challenges.
It is amazing when you think about it with the way technology, in fact, we're using Zoom right now rather than be in the studio conducting the interview. But I know that the Kenosha Literacy Council is also doing their tutoring sessions. Some, if the students have access, they're doing Zoom. Otherwise, they're doing some phone sessions. And it seems to be working really well. You lose that social aspect. And I think, but you're at least connected. And I'd like you, if you could both talk a bit about that. And I know, or I guess I'm not sure whether to what degree you're mental health experts, but I know that that's becoming a major issue right now. The longer that this Safer at Home goes on is those personal touches. Are you finding people are getting a little bit frazzled or upset or depressed?
Yes, definitely, Jane, to answer your question. The longer isolation goes on, the more we all become worried about mental health. And that is the reason why I am so such an advocate for our 211 system that we have due to United Way's partnership with 211's referral system. Individuals, they're not alone. They can reach out to this informational support line 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So in a crisis pandemic like we're in, nobody has to feel like they're alone. They can call up 211 and they can speak to a operator on the other line, and they can get the help that they need by doing that. And 211 is able to talk to them and refer them to a local.
Explain that just a little bit, Tara. When they get referred to a local, what do they get referred to? Tara, I think that we lost your audio. I know you said you've been having a little bit of difficulty with that. If you could just give it a little click and bring it back.
Okay. Am I back now?
Yes, you are.
You are.
Wonderful. I'm sorry about that.
No, you told me beforehand that it was doing something goofy for you, but thank you.
Yes, we love technology, but I haven't figured out why my computer just mutes itself randomly yet.
It just doesn't like what you're saying.
Right, exactly.
Explain how what sort of local resources they might be referred to and how that works for the individual making the 211 call.
Oh, sure, absolutely. So if an individual calls up 211 and is in need of mental health services, the 211 operator can refer them most frequently to Kenosha Human Development Services. That's the number one referral source for mental health here. But also if there's calls about, you know, alcohol disorders, they can be transferred to Hope Council here in the Kenosha County. Right now, the data that we're seeing from 211, prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, 211 received about 100 calls per month. And now they've skyrocketed, and they had about 500 calls per day during the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. So the operators at 211 are working very hard to make sure that our community is taken care of and referred to where they need to go. And once that referral is made, then the individual calling can call themselves, or the organization that receives the referral can reach out as well. So it's definitely a connection line, a lifeline to information on all different levels.
Katie, folks experience that too. Do you work with 211 or directly with some of the mental health organizations?
Yeah, I was going to jump in and say that, you know, while we also at CAFASI would refer out to mental health professionals if there's true need for that, 211 provides us with a lot of referrals as well. Our meal services for seniors have been piling in. So just in the past 6 weeks of the COVID crisis, and many of these referrals have come from the 211 system, we've started 185 new seniors. We're serving 1,200 seniors meals throughout our community. We're keeping kids and a variety of households safe. We're still providing rides. And the main way we're keeping people connected through all this, and you know, our day-to-day work at CAFASI tells us that, especially on the senior side of things, so many people, unfortunately, are isolated and lonely. And so we have a lot of programs like our Friendly Visitor Program or our Senior Center Without Walls that, you know, allows people to have connections that are oftentimes done through the telephone or other technology. And so we've continued to keep those things going. We're upping offerings of Senior Center Without Calls, where, you know, we'll have anywhere from 10 to 20 participants dial in and hone in on specific topics and just be able to keep that connection. Likewise, we have staff that are making calls multiple times a week, as well as volunteers. So there's still ways in which we do utilize volunteers to just be making phone calls and do wellness checks on our most vulnerable, you know, community members, which happen to be our seniors, which are so highly affected by this COVID-19 crisis. And it's not that anybody's immune, but we're really working hard right now to keep our seniors extra safe. So resources like 211 and utilizing volunteers who are willing to make wellness checks and keep those friendly connections through the phone are absolutely critical right now. Not that they always haven't been, but especially during this crisis.
It is amazing. And I guess you really kind of blew me away about all the extra meals. Meals cost, and generally they're delivered by volunteers with Meals on Wheels. How is that all happening now?
Well, for us, it's happening in a variety of ways. That was, you know, never our first thought. Our first thought was to get people the services that they needed. And we always believe faithfully that the money will follow. And you know, to date, we are still aggressively asking our community members who are still working and still have ways to financially support nonprofits to please do so at a greater level than ever, because it's helping us fill those gaps and meet those needs. But we've also been fortunate as a community. We've had our top leadership bring dollars into Kenosha County, you know, through Families First, through the CARES Act, through the United Way COVID Response Fund. And so nonprofits like CAFASI have been aggressively applying for that funding and counting on that to keep our organizations whole as we are serving more people than ever.
As we transition to talking about funding, I just want to remind people that they're listening to Community Matters on WGTD, and we're talking with Tara, who is the CEO of Kenosha County United Way, and Katie, who is the Executive Director for Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, or CAFASI. So let's talk about funding. Katie just threw out a number of different categories of funding and special support that has been promised to people in this COVID crisis. I think there have been so many things that came, that have been thrown at us as to different types of funding, but there are a couple of things that are being aimed specifically at nonprofits. And Tara, let's go to you first of all to talk about the United Way's relatively new COVID recovery fund and how that was formed, what it is, how it's going to be administered.
Absolutely, Jane. The main reason why we started that fund is because United Way of Kenosha County recognizes that our community is so important, and the services that the nonprofits deliver are extremely vital, especially during a pandemic such as this. We want our nonprofits to be able to continue to deliver those services without having to worry about where the money is coming from. So we want them to spend their time working with their clients right now. Fundraising is incredibly difficult and it takes a lot of time. So we felt that we could really play a big role in assisting our local nonprofits by fundraising for them in the community and giving those funds back in the form of grants so that they're able to continue those services. So our fund was created because of that. We started reaching out to local businesses, and we had our big first infusion from Meijer Stores. So we can't thank them enough for contributing so generously to the fund in order to get us started. You know, from there, we had many donors come in, like Festival Foods, the Mary Frost Ashley Foundation, Good Foods, Aurora, and the Kenosha Community Foundation, all contributed so that we could raise $100,000 to give back to our local nonprofits, health and human service organizations, and you have to be a 501c3. We did set out with an initial goal of $100,000, and I'm happy to report, because of those companies I had mentioned and the generosity of our community, we are now over $100,000. So we have moved on to our next goal, which is $200,000. And we are doing that because we are recognizing that this is not something that is going to go away anytime soon. These calls that are coming in from 211, the data that we're getting, it started as COVID-19 calls, but it's transitioning very quickly into basic needs, rent assistance, access to food. Those are things that our community is not going to be able to recover from in just a couple of weeks. So our nonprofits need us now more than they ever have before. So my goal for the COVID-19 response fund is to keep it open for months to come and hopefully just keep meeting all of those goals. And I think it's very important to mention that 100% of what we are raising in this fund is going back out to nonprofits. United Way isn't keeping any of these funds. We are pushing everything back out into the nonprofits because they need it the most right now.
That is awesome. And I like the whole local 100% part of it. Just a couple of clarifying questions. You mentioned who qualifies for the funds, 501c3, of course, would be really important. But I think people know there are United Way funded organizations, but you aren't necessarily having to be a United Way funded organization in order to apply for these funds. Is that true?
That is correct, Jane. We do have funded partners that we fund every year through our grant process. This process is different because we recognize that not only are our funded partners affected and the individuals that they serve, but also the nonprofit community as a whole. So we wanted to open the process up to all of our local 501c3 nonprofits to help them out the best that we can.
And I recognize companies seem to be stepping up to assist you. And I know that there are so many companies right now who are hurting financially. How is that really affecting your fundraising for this fund? And what kind of businesses are you seeing responding? You mentioned a few, of course.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely a difficult time for fundraising. So I ask the community as a whole, if you have the means to give back more than you ever have before, please consider donating to this fund because it is going to benefit the nonprofit community as a whole. We're going to make sure that these funds get out to our nonprofit agencies quickly. And we're going to start with the most basic needs first, emergency, the things that we're seeing out there that are very, very detrimental that need to continue. We're going to hit those first. But you're right, Jane, it is so hard right now to make like a personal ask. So I know I have done that. I've reached out, via email. I've put it on our website, and I've also put it all of our social media channels. But my heart goes out to every small business right now, every business out there that is hurting. There's businesses that have had to, furlough, they've had to lay off individuals, and my heart goes out to everybody that's affected. Fortunately, I know that there are a lot of other initiatives going on in Kenosha, which makes Kenosha just a wonderful place to live, that are raising money for small businesses. I think there's a downtown fund that is happening right now for our downtown small businesses, which is amazing. So people can donate to that if that's where their heart is as well. So there's a lot of initiatives to help, and it's great to see the community coming together as a whole, just to make us, keeping us a strong, caring community.
And just to clarify, you're taking donations from individuals as well as companies, correct?
Yes, we are. And we are blown away by the generosity that's coming in from individual donations. Just wonderful donations and wonderful, wonderful stories. We can't be more thankful.
And you have a partnership with the Kenosha Kingfish, I understand, related to this.
We do. The Kenosha Kingfish and I spoke in detail about the COVID-19 and what we're seeing. And, you know, I had relayed to them that this is not something that's going away anytime soon, as we just spoke about earlier. Our nonprofits are going to be stressed for the next couple of months. So to, you know, put some weight behind that, Simmons Field has been around, goodness, for over 95 years. I know United Way of Kenosha County has been in the community for over 96 years. We wanted to partner together so that they could help all of our nonprofits. And they felt like donating to the COVID-19 response fund was the best way to be able to support all of our nonprofits at one time.
And they have the little packs that you can purchase, I understand, like the fan pack type of thing.
Yes, they're calling it their opening day. And the reason why it's a opening day is because obviously we're all missing something, right? And I know I'm a big baseball fan and I'm missing my baseball very much right now. So they came up with something very clever. So if you, there's a ticket special going on that if you go on and purchase a hat and a ticket for $10, they will donate $5 to the COVID relief fund for United Way for any of that package that's purchased.
That sounds excellent. Now, let me turn to Katie now as somebody who sees a couple of these pockets of dollars that might be available in order to help some of these extra services that you're providing, especially with the absence of many of your volunteers. Sounds like a lot of work to start applying for some of these things.
Well, you know, we always hope that it is work well rewarded, but work nonetheless. I think, you know, the message I would love to get across, not only on behalf of CAFASI, but all of us, you know, 501c3 non-for-profits, not only are we, you know, a community's safety net and taking care of things that, you know, are really best handled in a mission-driven organizational setting. Along with that comes our ability to leverage and stretch a dollar better than any other sector. And yep. So I say that because sometimes I think as an individual, it may seem overwhelming, you know, But the true heart of the message is every donation matters. At CAFASI, we can feed a senior for an entire week for $26.25. And so that price point is very doable for a lot of people. It can be multiplied for those that sentiment applies to. But again, I know CAFASI is not alone in our ability to leverage and stretch those dollars. So there really is, you know, no better way for businesses and individuals to make an impact locally in our own community, close to home, for those we care about. It really makes the community better for all of us when every single member of our community has access to healthcare, safety, food, and all of the other enhancing services that are so needed at any given time, let alone during a pandemic and a crisis where we're all afraid, we're all you know, wondering the next day is going to bring, what's going to happen next. That the individual donor is going to be who really makes a great impact as they stand side by side with our philanthropic businesses.
And I think, like you say, the United Way COVID Response Fund directly contributing to an organization of your choice who is active in the community. But then we hear about this, the CARES Act that's being administered through the CDBG, Community Block Grants. Can you explain that? I'm not sure I'm understanding how that works.
Well, I'll jump in. This is Katie with CAFASI to say that, last week, CAFASI is lucky enough to be an essential organization as Kenosha looks where to best provide these dollars that have come through this emergency relief space. And really, it's just a way for our community to look at who amongst us is able to mobilize quickly and get those services out. Tara, I know you were on the call as well. And so there's a handful of organizations that'll provide services from health and safety through food provision, not only CAFASI's senior nutrition, but we had ELCA and Boys and Girls Club on the front lines doing the Kenosha Unified School District lunch and breakfast programming. And then we also have quite a few dollars in our community, which is amazing, going back into the hands of organizations that are on the front lines helping small businesses.
Absolutely.
So that's money that came from the state or from federal sources?
It comes through federal sources and then filters down to the local communities.
Okay. That helps. Can we take another step back to talking about volunteerism? And while we, totally understand, you've both been very clear that for the safety of all, you're telling volunteers to stay home, but there are other jobs that can be done over the phone or doing, the work has changed, the delivery mechanisms may have changed. Can each of you address that a little bit more in terms of, can you use more volunteers to help you in what you're trying to accomplish?
Katie, did you want to start with that?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Tara. Yeah. I will say we have really not turned down a volunteer yet. We're finding ways to plug people in. As this crisis continues to go on longer and with no real end in sight, especially for our most vulnerable populations, we've responded by starting programs like grocery shopping services for our most frail seniors. And so we're calling on volunteers who, fall into that lower risk category and are able to respond in ways in which we've never asked them to before. And again, with phone calls, and we've had, Boy Scout troops and Girl Scout troops and kids from Community Impact, come in and help with putting together meal bags and putting together, small notes and artwork that accompany meal delivery so that our seniors and other, homebound people know that the community is thinking of them and that while maybe some of us are in that lower risk category where we can get out and, be slightly more mobile as we have to deliver these services, but that, really we're all in this together is where I'm going. So I think I would speak for all of us nonprofits to say there's ways in which we can plug volunteers in that may not have always been our traditional volunteer opportunities, but we're getting really creative.
Exactly. Just like I spoke earlier about our readers or leaders of volunteers, they definitely have stepped up in a different way, and they're finding new and different ways to be able to reach our community, which I think is amazing. So we'll never turn down a volunteer. We love our volunteers. Volunteers are amazing people, and we definitely have things that they could do if they were so interested.
And we just have a few minutes left, but how do you think this is going to be kind of a philosophical question? How do you think this being forced into delivering services in a different way? Do you see this continuing? Do you see this? Oh, I never thought we could do this and it would work. Are you seeing that from your nonprofit or others?
Yes, I am for sure. As a matter of fact, even through our tutoring program, we're talking about that right now because you don't know what the future is going to bring. And, you know, looking at the data that even just with COVID-19 and what that presents, when are we going to be back to running normally? Are the schools going to be able to accept volunteers for the remainder of the year, you know, with the crisis and the pandemic that looms? So right now we are looking for different ways to be able to deliver our services. We're looking right now at virtual tutoring options, you know, just as the Kenosha Literacy Council is doing, to see if that might be an option down the road. We're going to respond as nonprofits with new and innovative ways of doing business.
I echo those exact sentiments that, you know, this has been really scary and trying times for everyone, but there have been some really heartwarming and creative things and a connectedness that has come out of this that I hope lasts well beyond the pandemic. And while there's things we can't wait to get back to normal, seeing our volunteers, you know, being able to rely on them to help with service delivery, I think there's going to be parts of our new normal that become just that, you know, exactly how we're delivering services in some ways today, maybe how things look moving forward. But then there's going to be things that, you know, just can never be replaced. Being able to see somebody at your door smiling, being able to, you know, come in and help with certain things around the home, being able to give a kid a hug. You know, we miss those things greatly, and we can't wait for those pieces to get back to normal.
Tara, again, in just the last couple of moments, how do nonprofits plan around uncertainty? I know you're kind of in a planning position. How the heck do you figure this out? Whether 1 month from now we can do that? No, you don't know.
Right. You don't know. We're all in a very unique and difficult position. And I stress that communication is key, especially through the programs. Communicate with your volunteers, communicate with where your program is housed. Having and working collectively is going to be something that I cannot stress enough. There are so many underlying issues that are coming out of this crisis that we have got to work collectively as a community to fix. It's got to be systems change. And that's going to take collective effort. So communication is key going forward. It's going to be your best way to plan. And have the conversation now. Don't wait. Just from a United Way of Kenosha County perspective, we're talking about what do our programs look like for the rest of the year. It's almost like a business continuity plan. We were fortunate to have one of those in place before this happened. So we were able to jump right in and continue working from, you know, from home. But definitely, if that's not something that we have, we should definitely, as a nonprofit in the area, look to having something like that put in place right now and communicate what your programs are going to look like from now to the rest of the year if A happens, if B happens.
I'm so grateful for both of you joining us today on Community Matters. We've been talking with the CEO of Kenosha County United Way, Tara Panasevich, and the Executive Director of Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, or KAFASI, Katie Oatsville. Thank you for keeping us up to date on all the marvelous things that you've been able to accomplish for us. Thank you.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app in the Kenosha Racine area. 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
In other words,
Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon. Badger Talk